Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you, and we appreciate, as always, your prayers. Talk about spiritual warfare. Maybe we will talk a little bit about that. But anyway, also sharing this podcast, it's getting out there. And remember to go to our new YouTube channel. I say new. How long do we have? 6 months? Because we kicked it off in January. So that means next month I'll stop saying new YouTube channel. Worldview Matters, David Fiorazzo. Thanks, guys. So our guest we have a very special watchman. First time on the podcast today. And I'm really excited to talk to Scott Townsend. Let me give you the main website for him. It is iamawatchman.com. And then over on Substack, which he puts out a lot of content, iamawatchman.substack.com. Brother, thanks for all you do, and thanks for your time today. Good to see you.
Nice to see you too, David. Thank you.
All right, so we talked about different topics, and we decided to go a different direction today. But you guys, I just want to talk about your roundtable you had recently with some other troublemakers for the kingdom of God. They've all been on this show. John Haller, Patrick Wood, Tom Hughes, Pete Garcia, Britt Gillette. My goodness, I didn't get a chance to watch, and I know it's on, I believe, John Haller's YouTube and Britt Gillette's YouTube. What did six masterminds discuss, and what problems did you solve on the roundtable, yeah, Scott?
Well, for the record, I'm the least of them. Those are gigantic intellects, for sure, and I just cling and try to hold on the best I can. So, but look, we've had a series of these, and they're well received, actually, David. And yep. We discuss a number of contemporary topics in Bible prophecy, focusing on the technical parts of it. So AI, blockchain, quantum. We talk about economics and world systems, the beast systems and things like that, which is always informative, I hope. And our goal is to provoke people to think deeply about the time that we're in and to encourage them to be about the Father's business.
Amen, brother. And you've done a lot of research in this area. In fact, the first time I saw you, I mean, I've seen you before on different videos, different programs, but the one that really opened my eyes was probably about 6 to 9 months ago. And you were on, I think, with Pete Garcia and a few others, and you brought up this map, this live Starlink satellite image, and I was blown away. I'd never seen that before, and I don't know if you remember that one, that round table you did.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And I thought, oh my goodness, so that's when I keyed into who you are, what you were doing, because there's so many great men of God, not enough, but there are some really good brothers in Christ doing some, and sisters in Christ doing some great work for the kingdom, being watchmen on the wall. And so let's talk right there about how you got started, Scott, and I am a watchman, because a lot of believers that aren't familiar with what a watchman does or what our duties or responsibilities are biblically, where does that come from? They might say, did you just anoint yourself a watchman? Could you explain a little bit of your journey, please?
Be happy to. So first, I came to faith in 1978. So I've been working, walking with the Lord for a long time. The problem is, David, that no one explained to me through normal sermon series that anything about eschatology, Bible prophecy. I had no idea about the millennial reign, about our eternal state, about the fact that even that I would stand toe-to-toe with Jesus at the Bema seat. And once my eyes were opened and it was my time to see it, the Lord helped me to understand it. My life changed dramatically, and that's when I began to get much more intentional about how to help, any way that I can. And being a watchman means that you, like in the old days, in the Old Testament, you would see in Ezekiel 33, you would see the watchman on the wall would look out into the distance looking for threats. And if they saw something that was coming towards them that looked dangerous, they would sound the alarm and wake up the people to defend whatever was coming. And today's world, we don't have walls and we don't stand on them looking out into the world. What we do is we examine, the Word of God and being a good Berean, as well as looking at what's happening in the world and helping people connect the dots, because there are plenty of signs that we are in the last days and we should be paying attention.
So I want to talk to you a little bit more about what you shared early on and how you must have heard, I don't know how many sermons, and you really weren't informed about Bible prophecy and the end times. But over on your website, IamAWatchman.com, I see other troublemakers that rub elbows with: Andy Woods, Jack Hibbs, Barry Stagner. I mean, we connect with a lot of the same people, which is a blessing. But tell us about some of the resources, Scott, on your website people can get.
Sure, absolutely. We had a podcast on CSN Radio for some time. All of those episodes are referenced there. There's a number of guests that we had, as well as we think of imawatchman.com as a resource for the Watchman community. So we've got sermon series. We have articles that are intended to encourage and to help grow the person just becoming aware of the things that are going on in the world. And it's not about speculative rabbit holes, David. I want to be clear. We're centrist in our thinking, and we think that there's plenty, in normal, everyday Bible prophecy between the Old and New Testament to really have a solid understanding of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to point out something on your website for people to go to under Watchman Lifestyle. If you scroll over that, there's a link that says what it means to be a watchman. So that's really what we're going to focus on today, a little bit of that, what it means to be a watchman. And in your articles, you've got a two-part series on when our pastors wake up. So, Scott, let's go back to... I've asked a lot of people this question. What do you perceive as one of the problems with a majority of pastors today, particularly in America, who do not preach the whole counsel of God? They don't teach much Bible prophecy, and they don't address cultural issues or worldview issues. Maybe they're true to the gospel, or maybe they're seeker sensitive, which we'll get to. But what do you see as part of the problem? How did we get to that point where you can go to a church for decades and not hear things that are going to equip you?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened in my case. I had no idea of what was going on. And then at the right time, the Lord did it for me. So the articles that you're mentioning there, David, are on my Substack, which is imawatchman.substack.com. And it's been on my heart for some time to really help the Watchman community and others in the body of Christ really understand what is a typical pastor going to be going through, what's in his mind. And we have to have, first of all, a massive heart for our pastoral staff, because they're stressed and stretched every way. There's conflict, there's noise. They are not taught typically eschatology from seminary, and they're in the process of building their congregation, and that often means not approaching difficult topics that would tend to, conflict with people's understanding of having your best life now. Yeah. I say that tongue-in-cheek because, unfortunately, there's a bias towards shielding the body from difficult topics like that.
Yeah. And so if you shield people for whatever reason, whether it's, you said, some seminaries don't even teach things that will help pastors equip congregations. Some seminaries are about here's how to build a bigger church. Here's how to attract numbers, how to be entertaining, all kinds of stuff. But let's go back to just the basic role of the pastor. I'm sure there's a misunderstanding or some ignorance about that as well, if we're in this predicament in America, isn't there?
Well, that's a very broad point there. And I think we're all comment on that, David, is that we have to realize that caring for a congregation, and this is a tremendous burden, by the way, for which there's a lot of accountability, according to the Bible, you know, is more than just accommodating lessons every week. It's more about equipping the saints for evangelism and other missional purposes like this. And if we're approaching the end of the church age right now, which I believe we are, and I do take a pre-tribulational position, then we have to realize if we do not address the things that are plainly there once we see them, you know, we are now doing a disservice if we continue to have normal, you know, sermon series that do not at least partially begin to incorporate, you know, some of the topics that are staring at us right in the face, such as, I'll give you some examples, the technology right now leading up to the mark of the beast, which we in the Tech Roundtable, we talk about a lot. I talk about it on my Substack. So, or, you know, the globalization of things, the one world systems. And there's plenty of evidence right now that the things that the Lord and the Bible talk about are basically converging. I think we're past the point of convergence. I see it as convergence is how we described it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Right now, the way I like to say it, David, is that we're smelling the tribulation right now. It's right there if we have the eyes to see it.
Yeah, things are, as Haller would say, convergence, then acceleration, then there's two other things. So let's get into your articles then, because we want to talk about this when pastors wake up, because the headline is, or the subheading is, suggestions and advice for approaching church leadership. And in part two, I believe, which we'll get to briefly after the break, part two, practical suggestions for how to approach church leadership. You do this very respectfully, Scott. You do it in a sense that understanding that being a pastor is a huge responsibility. It can be a heavy weight because much warfare, spiritual warfare, is involved. So let's go to the beginning of your article. You said, we have to be ready to interact with our local congregations in a new way. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think the first thing, let me give you a hypothesis here, David, and that is that I believe the Watchman community has been ignored, marginalized, and has tried their best to raise awareness in the pastoral staff and others like the board of directors and other Bible studies and places of leadership within a church. But I think that the time for the Watchman community to contribute to helping pastors, you know, connect the dots has been something that we've been prepared for. So I call the Watchman community deep operatives. I hope and pray that every church has at least one watchman or one watchwoman that are ready for service when things become so apparent to the pastoral staff that they actually do not understand what is happening in the world. And case in point, that could be any of the black swan events that we see foreshadowing of today. Just one example of that would be a debt crisis that begins to tumble, you know, financial markets and things like that, leading to things like bank holidays and, you know, supply chain problems all over again, and other, you know, things like the introduction of digital currencies, such as what's coming to the EU later in October of this year. So let's just remember that the Watchman community is there to serve. And so when we talk about what happens when the pastor begins to realize they're on the left foot, they don't understand it. They don't really feel equipped. And my main point is that they won't have a choice to duck or run or avoid or to marginalize or scoff or mock even, David, anymore. They can't do it because I think the congregation as a whole will be impacted and they will not be able to, you know, they'll realize that they need to address it somehow, but they don't exactly know how to. And that's where we need to be equipped with a loving attitude and a kind approach and delivery to help them understand what to do.
I so appreciate your tone and everything that you're saying so far. Big hearty amen. We're speaking with Scott Townsend, imawatchman.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about three categories of people that he lays out in his first article. Then we will jump to the second article on practical suggestions for how to approach church leadership. More with Scott Townsend on Worldview Matters coming up.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, right now, Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade. It's a Judeo-Christian online academy, and to celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on all courses at Freedom Project Academy. So, Scott Townsend, let's talk about those three categories of people. I found that to be interesting. And you're writing to people who are to some degree a watchman or learning about being a watchman or understanding that. Can you explain that briefly, please?
Absolutely. So there's three types of cohorts, as I would call them, David. The first is the watchman or watchwoman, you know, that understands what's happening through a painful process of learning and paying the price of really digging in, researching, and understanding both what is happening from a contemporary news point of view, as well as understanding eschatology and the things that the Bible talks about being in the end times. And the Lord wants us to be, obviously, prepared for that. We're called to be awake and to look forward to our redemption. And there's a lot of guidance about that in the Bible. So there are watchmen that understand what's happening, and they have tried to talk to their church leadership and have been typically, some are successful, I imagine, but most of the stories that I hear about are they've been rejected in the sense that they get polite indifference where they give updates. They try their best to communicate the seriousness of the hour that we're in. And in their attempt to try to educate the pastoral staff or a board member or a Bible study leader or other influencer within the church, they are frustrated with that. The second cohort that I believe is they have not actually approached their pastoral staff yet, but they have talked to others within their church. It could be after service. They may hear something intriguing. They may engage in a short conversation about that, but they're also ready to be able to give a defense for what's happening in the world today. It's just that they haven't had the opportunity to take that to the pastors at this point. And then the third are those that, to your point, are watchmen or watchwomen that have been studying and learning. It was, for me, David, it was about 2 years of just learning, drinking through the fire hose, listening to hundreds of sermons and teachings on the end times before I felt confident enough, and I would say had enough discernment to begin to make some, to let it gel and coalesce in my heart and mind about what exactly was happening and to be prepared to help communicate that to others. And many, many people fall into this. I think what happened 5 years ago is a precursor to people realizing normal isn't coming back, Jesus is coming back, and what does that mean? And so they've been listening with more intentionality to what's happening in the world, but they still haven't completely let it resolve in their heart and mind that they need to be part of the solution. And that's where those three cohorts stand at my point. And then, of course, it's unspoken, but the fourth one would be those that just have no biblical literacy.
Yeah.
They are listening to the word of God in fragments. They're not taking responsibility to be beyond a milk drinker and to get into the meat of the gospel and the Bible, to read, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament and to understand the association and crossover between the Old and New Testament. And it takes time. It takes time and focus to be able to learn that.
Well, we've had George Barna on the podcast recently a couple times, but the last time it reminds me that that fourth category would be where most churchgoers maybe in America are, unfortunately. But what you said is very profound. Normal isn't coming back. Jesus is coming back. What does that mean? And you ask a question, and then we got to jump to part two, Scott. We're running out of time. We got to jump in a minute. This is a good question to ask anytime. In your gut, do you believe you have been prepared for this season? Why or why not? You have asked that question in the first article on when our pastors wake up. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on that before we make the jump to part two?
I'd be happy to. So, yes, I absolutely have been. It was all something that the Lord timed for me. It was my time, you know, 8 years ago. And I've been researching for 5 to 6 hours a day, 365 days a year for 8 years now. That's in my case, that was what it took for me to stay focused and to stay current, and things are moving very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of how I see it. Yeah.
Well, let's just say, based on what you just shared, there is a point where we've got to take a break and surrender all that to God, because it can be heavy. There's a spirit of heaviness that's very real, and it can be overwhelming watching, being aware of what's going on. I'll just say that people need to remember to trust in God's sovereignty, cast your cares, surrender what you cannot control to the Lord, and do what you can to wake people up. So in part two, you say you have a 100% conviction that a change of heart is coming more broadly in the Lord's timing. Were you referring to the body of Christ? You say not necessarily a revival, but a stirring within the church. Could you explain that?
Yes, I do. Because when these things begin to happen, and the things that we're talking about are difficult things to hear. But mm-hmm. if you understand what is happening in the world and the way that the elites and others are trying to navigate the Great Reset spoken about by the World Economic Forum, and also understand Agenda 2030 from the United Nations, you know what they're telling you what they are going to do. Mm-hmm. And we are watching it. All the steps and precursors to that are being staged right now. So it is very, very important for us to understand that that this is going to impact the congregation. And so just one example of that, you know, could be a debt crisis of some kind in China cascading into the financial markets. And if a, you know, banking holiday happens because there's a crisis, then how do people deal with that? How would you imagine the congregation would react to that if they couldn't pay their bills or get access to cash? Or they would go to the church, they would ask for help, they would plead for, how do I pay my bills? Can you help me? Mm-hmm. The benevolence fund would be exhausted in the first hour. Yeah. And the pastor's going to get, you know, potentially hundreds of text messages and emails. What is happening? I don't understand. And the pastor, all of a sudden, who has been able to focus on other aspects of shepherding the flock, will and should realize this is a new season in which they are being elevated and called up to provide leadership to their congregation in a new way. And that is what, you know, we are all praying for.
Boy, we could have done a two parts on this podcast, Worldview Matters, based on your two articles. But I just want to quote you what you're talking about. You also ask a very good question. Is it possible your pastor or important members of the church leadership team have forgotten their first love? Like, was it the church, was it Ephesus? Which one forgot their first love? Anyway, that was in Revelation 2 and 3. You talk about seeker-sensitive churches being more culturally relevant, which you say lowers the standard of the gospel instead of lifting up people's need for Christ. And you say it mutes the salt and light principle that we're taught in the Bible. So let's end in the last 3 minutes. I'm sorry we ran out of time so quickly, Scott, on praying for our pastors, praying for church leadership, I have not done as good of a job in that. I think a lot of us would, if we were to admit that, we'd be honest in saying, yes, I need to pray more for our pastors. So share whatever's on your heart about praying in for our leadership in these situations.
Absolutely. I think we, you know, most of us realize that things are coming, okay? And we're supposed to look up as we see the day approaching and to be about the Father's business. One of the aspects of being about the Father's business is not to break fellowship with a church just because you don't hear eschatology coming from the platform. I think it will come. Hopefully it will come. And our job as members of a congregation is to love and support each other and to do our very best to steward the information that we know in a kind and gentle way, not one that shrinks back due to scars and wounds of the past where we were rebuffed, scoffed, and mocked, but to actually realize that our finish line is so close that we must exert extraordinary effort to take what we know and to help others find the truth. And some are in church, but do not know the Lord. They are cultural Christians, maybe.
Yes.
And yeah. I'll tell you, one of the most sobering things that can happen is the aha moment when a cultural Christian realizes that all of this that the Bible speaks about is real. That Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, where the Lord himself does the most amazing mic drop in history. It says, I will tell you what will happen because I am the Lord, right? I'm paraphrasing mm-hmm. that. And so it's very important for us to help people connect the dots and for them to understand that this is the season for all of us to be sober-minded, be in the Word, be in fellowship together, and to finish, help each other finish well.
And as you say in part two here of your article, consider the possibility that the Lord is waiting on me or waiting on you to make that first move to love your pastors and leaders sufficiently to go to war against the evil principalities and pray for your pastor or leadership, whoever you're meeting with, for their eyes to be open. And you know, you've got to humble yourself to go in there because you can come off very prideful when you're a watchman and you're aware of these things that a lot of Christians maybe are not. So we really have to guard against pride as well. And we have to pray for soft hearts, I think, all the way around. Scott, 30 seconds, closing thoughts.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to come on today, David. I hope that our audience here realizes that, you know, there's a lot going on in the world, and it's up to us, Watchman community and other concerned members of the body of Christ that have information, to be willing and open to sharing it, especially with pastoral staff and other church leaders.
Yes, in this day and age when the time is short, but we are here for this time and season. Scott's website, again, over on his Substack where these two articles are, iamawatchman.substack.com. Brother, thank you. So good to connect. Lord willing, we will do this again in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Friends, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.